So the government's changed plans on the GP co-payment, probably still the issue of the day, and I'm going to get a response now from a different political stripe. But it's actually a different conversation I want to begin with, and it has to do with Ebola, which has not gone away. Liberia seems to have gotten the situation under control. The number of cases in Sierra Leone, though, has grown in the meantime. So it's now overtaken Liberia as the country with the highest number of Ebola cases, 7,780 since the start of the outbreak in March, Liberia 7,719. So the virus has now killed more than 6,300 people in West Africa. Greens Senator Richard Di Natale is was a public health doctor. He's just wrapped up a field trip to the region, so he has lots to say on this and also on the co-payment, I'm sure. He's on the line now from Brussels, where he's in transit and hopefully not too jet-lagged. Richard Di Natale, thank you very much for joining us. What is it about Ebola specifically that convinced you that this is something that Australia and the rest of the world should be prioritising, at least more than it is?
Well, it's just an enormous public health crisis. It's an issue that, if not controlled, will spread beyond those West African countries. We know that it has a huge case fatality rate. One of the things that's become really obvious through this trip here is it's not just the direct impact it's having on the people who are getting Ebola, but the impact on the health systems here, the education, the economy, and it's really important it's contained. I think there's a very strong humanitarian reason. I mean, that's my primary concern, is a number of people dying, over 10,000 orphans now as a result of the epidemic, but there are also national interest reasons. There are countries in our region where the conditions exist where Ebola could take hold, and so there has to be a huge international effort to contain the epidemic and ultimately to try and eliminate the virus. And part of the reason for me wanting to come and see with my own eyes is to find out what Australia could do to contribute to that effort.
All right, I'll come to that in a second, but I noted earlier that Liberia seems to have made some progress on this. Do you have any understanding of why that's the case?
Look, there are, I think, a few reasons. The response there, particularly early on from the military, was very strong, and there was a lot of big international presence there very early on, and they implemented some public health measures to get on top of it. I think culturally there are different approaches to burial practices, because one of the issues, of course, is that having contact with a dead body is one of the most important means of transmission. And so I think there are different cultural practices there that meant the epidemic didn't take off in the same way as it has in Sierra Leone. But we're not exactly sure which factor was the most important one. But the epidemic in Liberia is not under control. It's true that in the capital, Monrovia, some progress is being made, but there are a number of outbreaks occurring in regional areas. And as soon as one area, this is one of the difficulties here, is that when one area appears to be progress being made, we see a spot fire emerge somewhere else. Very little is known about this epidemic, Waleed. It's very unusual for this to have taken hold in an urban setting. And so the questions about why has it taken hold in the way it has, and what are some of the factors that have led to the differences in both countries, we don't know yet. And that is one of the things that people are asking themselves. What we do know is that the things that work in both cases are similar. That is, making sure that people who get the disease are isolated quickly so that they can't spread it, making sure the treatment's available so that people aren't being cared for by relatives. And this is one of the tragedies of this, is someone told me this was a disease of love and caring. It's people who are carers for sick people who are the ones most at risk. Implementing public health measures like that, going out, contact tracing, looking for new cases, they're all the things that are required if this epidemic is to be beaten.
Right, and you talk about Australia's contribution and it needs to be ramped up. What do you mean specifically? What does Australia need to do that would make a difference?
Well, I think we've been very slow in terms of responding to the situation. The announcement to fund treatment centres was certainly most welcome. But there are a few other things that I think need to happen. The first thing, and the people have said to me repeatedly, is that the travel restrictions that Australia's placed, that no other countries have placed, have been counterproductive. They've meant that it's sent a message to the community that it's unsafe to be in West Africa. And in fact, if for most people, providing you take precautions, it is the chance of contracting Ebola is very, very small, next to non-existent if you take precautions. And we need health workers there. So they're saying change your stance on travel restrictions and let people know that it's safe to be here and it's important to be here to help us.
Is that really something that's dissuading health workers? I would have thought health workers would be in a very good position to know what the dangers actually are. And a statement from the government about immigration isn't necessarily going to get in the way of that.
Well, I've got to say, Waleed, some of the doctors I spoke to before I came who really only just read the headlines, because this is a disease no one knows much about. Some of the doctors I spoke to expressed some, you know, views on the outbreak that I thought were, you know, remarkable given their medical training. And if doctors who aren't following this closely have that view, you can imagine what the view is more broadly. So no, it does have an impact. It also, I think, from the point of view of people in West Africa, they felt it was hugely stigmatising to them, and they said repeatedly, this was a surprise to me. I didn't realise just how much what Australia said about this mattered, but it did, because it was brought up time and time and time again from people in Liberia and Sierra Leone.
Was that because you're Australian, though, and they know that it's relevant to talk to you, but that it doesn't actually have much of an impact more broadly on the ground and to the effort?
No, well, Australia and Liberia have a very interesting relationship. We've trained a number of Liberian people. It was a part of the Kevin Rudd's attempt to get a seat on the UN Security Council, and we set up a scholarship program with Liberia. And so there are many people at senior levels of government, within senior levels of the health administration there, who are Australian trained, and they noticed what was said. They were hurt by it. They felt it was very counterproductive. And they indicated to me, if there's one thing that I could do, it's to change Australia's position on travel restrictions. But beyond that, Waleed, the real issue for me that I take away from this is the impact this has had on an already frail health system. The health system now is effectively, it's in collapse. People are dying from treatable, preventable illnesses. I mean, you can imagine that malaria and gastroenteritis are both diseases that are prevalent here. And so while we look at the number of people dying from Ebola, which continues, and, you know, in Sierra Leone we're talking 500 new cases each week, but there are people now dying from other illnesses where they were once getting at least very basic healthcare who are not getting healthcare at all. The hospitals have shut down, primary health centres have shut down, health workers who are worried about contracting Ebola are staying away from health facilities, and there's a real opportunity here for Australia to play a long-term role in helping to rebuild of the health system in both countries.
All right. I'm speaking with Greens Senator Richard Di Natale. He's himself a public health doctor. He's also the Greens spokesperson for health. The other thing in your portfolio that's been the big news of the day, Senator Di Natale, is the government's renewed plans for its co-payment. It will no longer be compulsory. It will be optional, and it will not apply to people who are the most vulnerable, so concession card holders, veterans, pensioners, and the like. Given the main criticism of the $7 co-payment was that it was regressive and it would hurt the most vulnerable, doesn't this fix that problem?
No, it hasn't, because, I mean, this is effectively ripping hundreds of millions of dollars out of Medicare, and the way they're doing it is by not paying doctors and forcing doctors to effectively raise fees. So the idea that this is somehow a compromise is nonsense. It's going in the opposite direction to the direction we need to go. And one of the biggest problems in healthcare at the moment, and I led a Senate inquiry into this, is the issue of big out-of-pocket healthcare costs, meaning that people are not getting the medical care they need and ending up having much more expensive and serious health problems down the track. So what this does is it puts a big price barrier in front of the GP. It does it because the GP will be faced with the choice of either taking a huge pay cut or passing the cost on to the patient. Of course, most GPs will pass the cost on to the patient, and ultimately we'll see declines in bulk billing rates, we'll see huge increases in fees, and we'll see people staying away. And
well, not necessarily. Not if the most vulnerable are not being forced to pay that extra money. That's the whole point, that people like you and I are being asked to pay an extra $5. Well, fair enough. And then we make a contribution. It's not going to stop us going to the doctor.
But Waleed, they're not being forced to pay the extra money, but the consequence is that they will, because if you take money away from general practice, if you and it's not just the $5 co-payment, one of the things that's not really got, I think, much traction at the moment is an understanding around what reducing indexation means. That basically means that over the long term, GPs are going to get much less in their pocket. What are they going to do as a result of that? well, they'll start charging upfront fees for patients who are previously bulk billed. You have two choices. One is you see more people. The other choice is that you increase the cost that you charge to patients. And what we're going to see as a result of this is a dramatic decline in bulk billing rates. We're going to see people who were previously getting access to free healthcare in their general practice, that will be gone. And the most vulnerable will be affected. So this is effectively a policy that circumvents the Parliament and introduces a fee rather than getting permission from the Senate to change the law to reform Medicaid.
I understand the point you're making, but it's not entirely true that they can bypass the Senate. The regulations are disallowable, so the Senate can get involved there, and there is some legislation that will be required here. So the Senate does have a say.
Not if it's introduced when the Parliament's not sitting, Waleed. So we'll have to wait until the Parliament resumes and we'll see what the Parliament does then. But the point is that you can dismantle Medicare in two ways. You either change the law or you stop paying doctors. And they've obviously not been successful with the first approach, so they've gone down the second avenue, which is try and strangle the payments that go to doctors, and ultimately it's going to be doctors who pass those costs on to patients.
It will be very interesting to see the Senate resume and exactly what it does with this, even if the regulations have already been brought in. Richard Di Natale, thank you very much for your time. I better get a wriggle on.
Good on you, Ollie. Bye.
Greens Senator Richard Di Natale, spokesperson for Health for the Greens, talking to us there from Brussels.